to the feminine population of the quarter bordering on Stuyvesant Square. It was a very small shop in a shabby basement in a side street already doomed to decline, and from the miscellaneous display behind the window pane and the brevity of the sign surmounting it, merely Bunner Sisters in blotchy gold on a black ground, it would have been difficult for the uninitiated to guess the precise nature of the business carried on within. But that was of little consequence, since its fame was so purely local that the customers on whom its existence depended were almost congenitally aware of the exact range of goods to be found at Bunner Sisters. The house of which Bunner Sisters had annexed the basement was a private dwelling with a brick front, green shutters on weak hinges, and a dressmaker sign in the window above the shop. On each side of its modest three stories stood higher buildings with fronts of brown stone, cracked and blistered, cast-iron balconies, and cat-haunted grass patches behind twisted railings. These houses, too, had once been private, but now a cheap lunchroom filled the basement of one, while the other announced itself above the knotty wisteria that clasped its central balcony as the Mendoza Family Hotel. It was obvious from the chronic cluster of refuse barrels at its area gate and the blurred surface of its curtainless windows that the families frequenting the Mendoza Hotel were not exacting in their tastes, though they doubtless indulged in as much fastidiousness as they could afford to pay for, and rather more than their landlord thought they had a right to express. These three houses fairly exemplified the general character of the street, which, as it stretched eastward, rapidly fell from shabbiness to squalor, with an increasing frequency of projecting signboards and of swinging doors that softly shut or opened at the touch of red-nosed men and pale little girls with broken jugs. The middle of the street was full of irregular depressions, well adapted to retain the long swirls of dust and straw and twisted paper that the wind drove up and down its sad, untended length. And toward the end of the day, when traffic had been active, the fissured pavement formed a mosaic of colored handbills, lids of tomato cans, old shoes, cigar stumps, and banana skins, cemented together by a layer of mud, or veiled in a powdering of dust, as the state of the weather determined. The sole refuge offered from the contemplation of this depressing waste was the sight of the Bunner Sisters' window. Its panes were always well washed, and though their display of artificial flowers, bands of scalloped flannel, wire hat frames, and jars of homemade preserves had the undefinable grayish tinge of objects long preserved in the showcase of a museum, the window revealed a background of orderly counters and whitewashed walls in pleasant contrast to the adjoining dinginess. The Bunner Sisters were proud of the neatness of their shop and content with its humble prosperity. It was not what they had once imagined it would be, but though it presented but a shrunken image of their earlier ambitions, it enabled them to pay their rent and keep themselves alive and out of debt, and it was long since their hopes had soared higher. Now and then, however, among their grayer hours, there came one not bright enough to be called sunny, but rather of the silverly twilight hue which sometimes ends a day of storm. It was such an hour that Ann Eliza, the elder of the firm, was soberly enjoying as she sat one January evening in the back room which served as bedroom, kitchen, and parlor to herself and her sister Evelina. In the shop the blinds had been drawn down, the counters cleared, and the wares in the window lightly covered with an old sheet, but the shop door remained unlocked till Evelina, who had taken a parcel to the dyer's, should come back. In the back room a kettle bubbled on the stove, and Ann Eliza had laid a cloth over one end of the center table, and placed near the green-shaded sewing lamp two teacups, two plates, a sugar bowl, and a piece of pie. The rest of the room remained in a greenish shadow, which discreetly veiled the outline of an old-fashioned mahogany bedstead, surmounted by a chromo of a young lady in a nightgown.